Before we get into our lesson, I wanted to, first of all, from class this morning, we were talking about taxes and the government and collecting taxes and the immoral things that it's used for, and I said that I was pretty sure that the Roman government used some of that tax money that they collected for immoral things, and as I thought about it more, I'm certain they did, because that very same government used some of that tax money they collected to buy the cross, the nails, and to pay the soldiers who crucified Jesus. So I know that they did that, and yet, even at that, Jesus still told them to pay their taxes to that government. So, afraid we can't get out of those taxes. As we've been looking at why we need to study the Bible, one of the reasons to study the Bible is to be able to defend the Bible from the critics of the Bible. There are a lot of people out there, even who say the Bible's a good book, or things like that, or it's got some good teachings in it, but who still also believe that the Bible has some contradictions in it. In fact, some people are commonly heard to say things like, well, you can prove anything by the Bible. Well, the Bible says one thing here and another thing there, and how am I supposed to know which one to do? And so we want to look at why these people who are alleging that the Bible has these contradictions in it, why are they doing that? Why do they say that? And not necessarily getting into their personal motives, but why do some people think that this particular thing may be a contradiction when it's not? What is it about the Bible that confuses people in some of these things? Well, we want to notice, first of all, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16. Peter here writes and says, "And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." So Peter here tells us that one of the reasons that people have difficulty with the Bible is the fact that sometimes there are just some things in the Bible that are hard to understand. And then sometimes people twist or wrest, like wrestle with those scriptures, and they wrestle them all out of their context and try to make them mean something that they don't mean. And so that's part of the problem. Some people are unlearned, and some people are unstable, and then there are some things that are just hard to understand, and it's easy to be confused by some of those things. One of the things that we do have to know is that there may be things that we cannot explain or that we do not understand. But that doesn't mean that it's a contradiction in the Bible or that it's something wrong with the Bible. It may simply be a problem on our part coming to the Bible. And so as we study the Bible more, some of those things may become clear to us if we'll continue to study. The problem is, if we come upon something that we don't understand and say, well, I don't understand that, so I'm going to quit studying the Bible because I can't understand it. Well, just because there was one verse in there that I didn't understand, there are a lot of other verses in there that I can understand. And if I go through and learn the things that I need to learn as I can learn them, the next time around, as I go through again, I may understand some things that I didn't understand the first time. The Bible is an amazing book. It has things in it that are simple enough that the little child can enjoy some of those things and understand those things. But it also has things in it that are complex enough that the educated person who has a doctorate degree in theology has not figured out all of it yet. And so it is that depending on what level we are, we'll read the Bible and we'll get the level out of it that we're able to get. You know, it's an amazing thing when it comes to, if we think about math, for example. Well, they teach math in kindergarten, and they teach it all the way up through college level courses and all the way up to doctorate's degrees in mathematics. Well, you know, they don't teach the same thing to the kindergartners and first graders that they teach to the juniors and seniors in high school. They don't teach the same thing. We think about science. the science books have to be different for the kindergartner and the first grader from what they are for the college student. Why, the kindergartner and first grader could never understand, for example, some of the things in the biology book that the person who's in college understands very clearly. And we wouldn't necessarily want the kindergartner or first grader to understand all the things about biology that the person who's in college may understand, or the person who's getting a doctorate degree in medicine might need to understand. But it's an amazing thing about the Bible. It's not a whole bunch of different books that are written on different levels for here's the kindergarten book, and here's the third grade book, and here's the eighth grade book. It's not like, it's one book, and yet within that one book, all of the depths and levels of understanding are in there, in that one book. Now, certainly some things are harder to understand, and someone has to develop their skill at understanding the Scriptures in order to get to some of those things. But we have to understand that we don't understand everything. If we ever get to the point that we think we've got all of the answers, then the chances are we don't know what the question was. We discussed those things this morning in Bible class that I have to admit, I don't have all the answers to those things. I know the answers are in the Bible, but I don't know them all yet. And we're always going to have things that we don't know all the answers yet. There's going to continue to be, as long as we live, something that we can learn from studying the Scriptures. When I was in college myself, studying the Bible to become a preacher, one of the men who had founded that college back in the 40s was still there and still teaching there. And he had a little office there, and when I say little, I mean little. It was about the size of a closet. But he would be in that little closet office, and you would walk by, and he would, if he wasn't teaching class, he'd be in that office sitting there with his Bible open on his desk studying it. And at this point, he was in his 80s, and I would ask him, have you not learned everything there is to learn out of there? Well, of course he hadn't. He said, every time I read the Bible, I learn something new that I didn't know before. Now, this man had been not only studying the Bible, but he had been teaching the Bible for 60 years to others. And yet, in all that time, there were still things in there that he learned something new when he went to study the Scriptures. Now, it wasn't really anything new. It had been there all along. He just hadn't learned it yet. It was new to him. And so it is with us as we continue to study. But difficulties arise when we're studying the Bible from the nature of the truths revealed. And some of those things are harder to understand. And some of those things may be beyond our current level of understanding. The nature of God Himself presents some of the difficulties. Our finite minds, our human minds, cannot really truly comprehend and understand God fully. Oh, He's revealed Himself to us in such a way that we can understand some things about His nature and some things about Him, but we can't fully understand God. I'm not sure even when we leave this world and go to heaven if we'll even then be able to fully understand God, because we still won't be God, and no one can understand God fully except God Himself. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the secret things belong to the Lord, but those things which He has revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, so that we may do the words of His law. Well, if the same thing was true for the people under the Mosaical Age, it's true for us today. There are still some secrets that He hasn't revealed to us, because He didn't need to. He chose what to reveal to us, and He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, everything that we need. But it may not be everything that we're curious about. Same is true with children. Children may ask their parents a lot of questions about things that they're curious about, but the parents, if they're wise parents, will not reveal everything to those children, because there are some things that those children may be curious about that they're not ready to understand yet. they're not ready to handle. And so it is that God revealed some things in the Old Testament, and then He revealed some more things in the New Testament, and He will reveal some more things when we get to heaven. But even then, He may not reveal everything to us. There's no requirement that says He must. He will still be God, and He will reveal what He chooses to reveal and what He believes is best. But let's look at some of these alleged Bible contradictions. Some allege that there are discrepancies, but what really has happened is they have misinterpreted or mistranslated the Scriptures. For example, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the heaven, under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so." Now, some people read that word firmament and they think firm, solid, something hard, and they say, well, the sky's not hard. God didn't make it hard. That must be, there's something wrong with the Bible. Well, that's not the case. They've just misinterpreted what the word firmament meant. Remember that the King James Version of the Bible was written 1600, which was about 400 years ago, and some of the words and what they meant then are not the same thing that they mean to us today. And when we understand that, then we may realize that it may be our misunderstanding of that word that causes the confusion. Well, the Hebrew word there, rakia, is a word that really means an expanse, a big open space. And that's what the sky is, isn't it? A big open space. And yet, when we see the word firmament, we think of something that's firm or hard. And that confuses people sometimes, and they think there's a contradiction there. But there's not a contradiction. It's just a misinterpretation of what the word in the Scriptures meant. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 16 is another example of that. Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, when we use the word coast today, we talk about going down to the coast. We're talking about that sandy strip ashore right next to the ocean. And yet, if you look at a map, you'll find that Bethlehem is nowhere near any coasts, as we would call them. And yet, the word coast didn't always mean that. At one time, at the time the King James Version was translated, the word coast simply meant the area around a place. And so when he talks about the coasts of Bethlehem, he's basically saying Bethlehem and its suburbs and all the country around it. All of that area of land that surrounded it. And so we need to realize that sometimes these discrepancies aren't really discrepancies at all. They're simply misinterpretations of the Scripture. Secondly, we want to notice that some of the alleged discrepancies result from differences of authorship. We talked about this once before in asking who's speaking. God said in Genesis 2:17 that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. In Genesis 3:4, however, the Bible records, you shall not surely die. Well, one place says you shall die, one place says you shall not die. Well, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Well, no, it's not a contradiction. If we understand that the first time God was speaking and the second time the devil was speaking, well, God and the devil contradict each other all the time, but the Bible doesn't contradict itself. And so sometimes a difference in the author. And so we can ask those clarifying questions. Who made the statement, and who were they talking to, and why were they making that statement? Was it under the Old Testament law? Is the writer endorsing the statement, or simply stating the statement? You'll find Paul making some statements that were actually the statements of his critics, but he's simply quoting those critics. It doesn't mean that he endorsed it or that he believed it. He's simply stating what those who accused him of different things were saying. And so sometimes we have to ask ourselves those things. The third thing that we want to notice is that sometimes people think there are discrepancies because things occurred at different times. Sometimes people read two accounts and they think, well, here we go, here's two. These are not the same. They contradict each other, and they don't realize that one account was at one time and the other account was at a different occasion. So how could they be the same? They have to be different. One of the things that we realize is that the Bible was written over a period of hundreds of years. Circumstances can change drastically during that time frame. God may say two opposite statements at two separate times and not be guilty of any contradiction. So we talked about earlier where God said one thing and Satan said another. But what if God says two things that are the opposite? For example, in Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. But in Genesis 6:6, it says, it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. Well, now in one place He says it's all good. And then in the next place He says He was sorry He even made it. Why? Well, several hundred years have passed. And in that several hundred years, mankind has gone from a perfect being living in a perfect garden in a perfect world to being a sinful man who has fallen and is corrupt. So we need to realize that sometimes a change in the time can change what is taught. And again, the things that were taught under the Old Testament law, for example, like instruments of music. Psalm 150 mentions several instruments of music, and it was commanded to use those and to praise God with the psaltery and the harp and the cymbal. That was a command. And yet in the New Testament, that command is not given. And sometimes the change of times, sometimes the change in law, makes things that may seem to be contradictory, not really contradictions, but they were given at different times. I could tell my son today, no, you can't drive the car. It'd be illegal for you to drive the car. But in another 10 years, if he's passed his test for his driver's license, he may very well be able to drive a car. And I think, son, here are the keys. Drive the car. Well, you said it was illegal to drive the car. Well, it was. But things have changed. You've met the requirements of a different law. And so it is that sometimes those things change with time. And things are different at different times. The fourth thing we want to notice is that some of these discrepancies result from different topics or objects being addressed. Sometimes the Bible talks about different things and may use similar wording and may cause people some confusion. We must understand what the author is speaking of and not what we think if the statement was made to us. Well, for example, as human beings, are we mortal or are we immortal? In other words, do we die or do we not die? The Bible teaches both things. The Bible teaches that it is an appointed unto all men to die. Once to die. Everybody's going to die. Well, that means we're mortal. But Jesus said, whoever believes in me shall never die. Well, that would be immortal. Well, there's a contradiction. No, it's not a contradiction. The one is discussing the physical body of man that must die. The other is discussing the spirit or the soul of man that will live on forever in eternity. One will die, the other will not die. And so there's no discrepancy there. There's no contradiction. And yet, those two things seem to be contradictory when we just make the statement. But when we realize that both can be true because of the dual nature of man, some of the discrepancies that are alleged actually result from different methods of arrangement or just the absence of certain events. It's not the purpose of every writer in the Bible to give us every bit of information that we need. In the book of James, there's not much said about the grace of God. In the book of Romans, there's a lot said about how works don't save us. But in the book of James, there's a lot said about how works do save us. When you put them together, you get the complete picture. If you try to take one without the other, then you get a skewed picture of what Christianity is really like. And that's the problem we have when we proof text, when we just go to our favorite verse and try to use that verse. One verse does not tell the whole story of the Bible. If one verse could tell the whole story of the Bible, then the Bible would only be one verse long. It can't do it, and it doesn't work that way. John chapter 21 and verse 25 says, "There were many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Well, sometimes the group of people being written to makes certain things either necessary or completely unnecessary and useless. Because Matthew was writing to the Jews who believed in the Old Testament, he quotes a great deal of Old Testament prophecy to prove that Jesus was who he was claiming to be. But Luke, who was writing to a Gentile audience, didn't have reason to spend a lot of time dwelling on Old Testament prophecy because the Gentiles didn't believe in the Old Testament anyway. And so it was better for him to focus on Jesus himself and his life and his miracles as proof that he was from God. An author may have arranged events either chronologically or according to a particular topic, or in order of importance, or perhaps some other way. Just because things are arranged differently does not mean that there's a contradiction there, that there's some sort of discrepancy. In the Gospels, some of the Gospels have events in one order, and another Gospel may have them in a different order. Well, that doesn't mean that there is a contradiction, because they didn't say that this was the order they happened in. One of them may be grouping things in a different way than we would understand. Or perhaps Jesus taught the same thing on different occasions at different points in his ministry. Like a lot of gospel meeting preachers that I know who spend their time just, you know, they don't preach locally for a church, but they go around preaching gospel meetings. I've heard the same sermon by the same speaker on three different occasions at three different locations. Well, if I said at such and such a date, the preacher preached this particular sermon, somebody else said, no, on such and such a date, he preached this particular sermon. Well, we can both be right. Maybe he preached that same sermon on both those days. And so that doesn't make a contradiction, and yet sometimes people say that it does. Then, sometimes it has to do with an expression and the way something is expressed. The writer may use current expression for something that is technically inaccurate, but it's not really a contradiction of the truth. It's just the common expression. How many of you believe the sun rose this morning? Well, you may not have been up, but you know it's out there now. And you say, well, yeah, the sun rose this morning. The sun came up. I'm sure it did. Well, now, scientifically, we know that that's not true. The sun does not come up. The earth rotates around. But that doesn't make it inaccurate for us to say that the sun came up this morning. It's the common expression that's used. From our viewpoint, that's what it looks like. It doesn't feel like we're moving. It looks like the sun's moving. And so sometimes people in the Bible even use the common expressions of their day. Talk about the four corners of the earth. Talk about the sunrise or sunset. Sometimes numbers may be rounded or approximated. If I asked you how many people lived in Faraday, well, you might say 4,000, or you might say 5,000. Or you might say, well, there's 4,473 people. You know, you might be very precise, but you might round it up. Oh, maybe 4,500. You might round it. And we can do that. And it's okay, and it doesn't mean there's a contradiction. One example of that is where Joseph and his family, Joseph had the rest of his family come to Egypt. In one place it just says there were 70 souls. In another place it says there were 74 souls. Well, that's a contradiction. One place says 70 and the other says 74. Well, no, that's rounding the number off. Instead of saying 74, it's 70. It's a round number. And we do that all the time. We round numbers off. When we see a price on something and it may say it's $2.86, we say, well, it's $3. We round numbers off all the time. Well, you're lying. It's not $3. It's $2.86. It's $3. By the time you add tax, it's probably going to be over $3. But we realize that in everyday life. But for some reason, people don't want to apply common sense to the Bible when they're trying to interpret it. And so they come up with some of these things. All of these things are allowed in other writings, history books, science books. I mean, these things are allowed, and nobody has a problem with it. Nobody goes, oh, that author's full of contradiction. And yet, when it comes to the Bible, they want to say, oh, we can't do that. That's a contradiction. But we need to realize that the Bible does some of those same things that we would do. The natural expressions, common expressions, rounding numbers off, and various different things like that. The last one we want to notice this morning is that some of these discrepancies result from differences in the way things are calculated. That's important. If I said to you, this morning it was 10 degrees, some of you would, you're out of your mind. It wasn't 10 degrees this morning. The water would have been frozen. No, it wasn't 10 degrees. Oh, but it was 10 degrees Celsius. Oh, well, maybe it was. I don't know. What's the calculation on it? Maybe it was 10 degrees Celsius. But when we hear 10 degrees, we may automatically assume Fahrenheit is the measurement that we're using. But if one person's using Fahrenheit and one's using Celsius, they're going to get very different numbers. If I said it's 100 degrees, the water's 100 degrees, well, is that hot enough to boil an egg or warm enough to take a bath? It all depends on whether I'm using Fahrenheit or Celsius. At Fahrenheit, 100 degrees might be a cool bath, not real hot. But at 100 degrees Celsius, that water's boiling and you can put an egg in it and cook it. So we understand the difference that in our lives, but that's the case in the Bible as well. Sometimes they calculated times differently and measured dates differently. Different nations had different ways of counting things. The Jewish day began at sunset and went till the next sunset. It's like in Genesis, the evening and the morning were the first day. Well, the Romans didn't keep that time that way. The Romans kept time like we do, from midnight to midnight. And so for them, the Jews had already had 6 hours of their day before the Roman day began. And some of the gospel writers write using the Jewish accounting of the day, like Matthew does. And some, like Mark, they use the Roman accounting of the day. And that makes a difference. It changes the way that things read. In Genesis 5, of course, we also have the idea of counting a part of a year as the whole. When we ask you how old you are, you're going to probably tell based on when your last birthday was. Well, I'm 22, or I'm 38, or I'm 57, or I'm still 29 and have been for several years. But whatever the case may be. But we say that rounding it off to, even though we're nearly, maybe our birthday's next month, but we still, when we're asked what our birth date is, we still go back to the last one. Well, that same thing happens in the Bible. When we read those accounts in Genesis 5 where it says, and so-and-so was so many years old when he gave birth to so-and-so and lived so many more years and was so-and-so years old when he died. And, well, it'd be very odd if every one of those men just happened to die on their birthday, wouldn't it? That'd be unusual, to say the least. And so the fact of the matter is, they didn't. The fact of the matter is that that was just rounded off. So those are a few things that as we begin to look at why people criticize the Bible and find fault with the Bible, these are some of the reasons that they do it. These are some of the problems that come up. And if we understand those things, it'll help us ourselves when we come upon a problem. When we read that and we say, well, wait a minute, that says this, but this isn't. The first thing we need to ask ourselves is, okay, what is the situation in each of these places? How is it that this one is different than that one? Why would one be different than the other? What's the difference? And could there be a reason that one would say one thing and one would say the other? And once we do that, many times we can figure out that there's not really any discrepancy at all. Sometimes we may have to go beyond our own wisdom and knowledge. Apologetics Press has some books out written by Eric Lyons called The Anvil Rings, in which he takes some of the trickier of those particular supposed and alleged contradictions and helps us to understand how those things work together in such a way that they don't contradict each other. And that's an interesting book and an interesting task that he's taken upon himself. You know, sometimes, though, the biggest problem that we have is not in believing that the Bible contradicts itself. The biggest problem we have is that our lives contradict the Bible. We don't live according to the things that the Bible teaches us. We live according to the things we want to live, and we try to change the Bible and make it fit our lifestyle. We can't do that. We have to accept what the Bible teaches and apply what the Bible teaches to change our life to match the Bible. If there's a contradiction between your life and what the Bible teaches, I can guarantee you it's not the Bible that's the one in the wrong. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, your life is in contradiction to the teaching of Jesus Christ. He taught everyone to come after Him, to follow Him, to be obedient to Him, to believe in Him, to repent of their sins, to confess Him as the Christ, the Son of God, and to be buried with Him in baptism. And if you haven't done that, you're living in contradiction to Jesus Christ and to His Word. If you're here as a Christian, and perhaps you've done that, but maybe you're not living up to some of the other commands that God has given us in the Bible. You need to correct those things in your life. You need to grow in those areas to meet up to the standard that the Bible has given us so that there's no contradiction between your life and what God has taught. You need to respond to the invitation this morning. Please do so as we stand and as we sing.